The University of Kansas Health System is proud to be the official healthcare provider of the Kansas City Current. From youth athletes to the pros, we put player care first to turn their dreams into reality. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/kccurrent.
It's crunch time! Hey, Kansas City, welcome. It's Tim Grunert and Frank Bohl. It's Thursday night. That means crunch time. Appreciate you guys listening in. We have to thank our great sponsor before we get into all the goods about the Kansas City Chiefs and a couple other things, Frankie Boy, that we'll be talking about. But we want to thank our friends with CBD American Shaman. Right now, 30% off all products at all stores. You have problems sleeping? They got something for you. You got problems with discomfort? They got something for you. Anxiety? Something for you. Energy? Need energy? They got something for you. For beauty? Believe me, just look at me and how beautiful I am. They got something for you. And, you know, you got CBD oils, got topicals, we got they got pills, they got gummies, they got edibles, you name it, they got
it. Doggy treats,
doggy
thunderstorms,
treats.
You got it.
They do. You know, my dog, you know, it's funny you bring that up because my especially my little guy, my little Shih Tzu. Can you say that on the air?
Yeah, uh-huh.
Shih Tzu.
Yeah.
My little Shih Tzu. Uh-huh. When it rains, he freaks out.
Sure.
So we go get him a little bit of a hunk of the CBD American Shaman little dog treats. He eats that, and the next thing you know, he's hanging
asleep.
Out.
He's
like, "Yo, dude, what's up? Everything's cool here, man."
Got a little cigarette dangling from
hey,
the corner
man.
Of his mouth.
Hey, man. What was that one, the skit that they used to do with Cheech and Chong? Hey, man, is Dave there? There's no Dave here. Hey, man, where's Dave? That's what my dog's like. Hey, where's Dave at? No, it's great for these dogs. It really settles them down. Well, they got great sponsors. They're awesome.
Yeah.
And it's a Kansas City company. And they've done unbelievable for Chad. Do you see Chad lately?
Oh, yeah, Chad Corey.
Oh, my gosh.
He's lost all kinds of weight. They have the weight program with Dr. Raul Kapoor. We'll get you all fixed up there at Shaman's Leewood Total Wellness, 117th and Row. In Leewood right there in Camelot Court. You know, Joe's is in there, CVS. And now, so you hear about Joe's today?
No.
Joe's fed the FIFA people.
Did they?
Yes.
Well,
trying to get
done.
The World Cup here.
It's done.
It's a done deal.
It's a
don't
done
you think?
Deal.
I don't even know why I'm talking to you, though, tonight. I don't like you anymore.
Why? What did I do now? What did
you do earlier today before you even came on this radio show? What did you do to one-up us on our own radio show?
I know. Excuse
me?
I don't
what?
Know what you're talking about.
Excuse me?
I got a haircut?
What?
Is that it?
No. 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 It's not your haircut. No.
Well, we can't really talk about the other thing.
Well, you can.
Well,
you can.
Well, I am. Yes, I can, and I guess I will. I am coming out with a book.
Oh, yeah, I know. I already heard.
Frank, I mean.
I already heard.
All right.
I know
ahead.
All about it.
Do tell.
No, I don't want to talk about it. You talk about it. It's
right.
Your book.
All right, guys. So I am coming out with a book. I've been working on it now for about 4 or 5 months, believe it or not, and. You know, it's just about done. It's all ready to go. But Triumph, who is our publisher, they're like, you know, listen, let's make sure that this comes out when the season starts. So it'll be coming out next season. So the reason why we're talking about it now is because I got a great little event coming up here in about a week. I'm very, very excited about with the Ring of Honor. But we're going to try and kick
congratulations the again on that.
Yeah, thank you. We're going to kick the book off during those proceedings. And it's a book about building the foundation of the Kansas City Chiefs. You know, the great Kansas City Chiefs kingdom. The Chiefs kingdom was built, the foundation was built in the 90s. And we have some fun stories, tell a lot of great anecdotes about different games and different things that happened. Frank, you and I, we talked about the levy and a lot of the fun stuff that happened there.
I hope you didn't talk about the levy.
Oh, yes, I did.
Oh, good Lord.
And, you know, we talked a lot about Steve DeBerg, Joe Montana, Dan Samua, Rich Gannon. In fact, I texted Rich Gannon a little bit of snippet of the chapter I wrote on Rich, and he absolutely loved it, and I think you guys will love it, too.
That was the biggest mistake, and even Marty said after he was done coaching, it was the biggest mistake he ever made was reinserting Elvis Gerbach and putting Rich Gannon on the bench.
And the name of the book will be tentatively, unless the publishers have a little bit, they have some say on different things.
That's great.
The kingdom, how the kingdom was built, a view from the center from the Kansas City Chiefs. So,
I thought it was view from the center.
The center.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I told you.
You know
Frank.
What? That might have been a better title for the book than view from the center.
But, Frank, remember, you know, we're Catholic. We can go just say, forgive me, Father, for I've sinned.
Bless and, me, and then, Father, yeah, for I have sinned.
I always say forgive me.
No, it's always bless me back in my day.
Yeah, well, so. Either way, we're forgiven. So no longer sinners. Until the next time. But the book, it's going to be a lot of fun. You know, back in the day, Frank, as you know, because you did a lot of radio, too. I mean, you were doing radio with Bill and Gretz before I even got there.
Yeah, that's right. We did.
And you know,
we did.
Derek did a show, and Neil did a show. And
we did it. We actually
Carl Peterson did a show.
Yeah, Bill and I actually did the show at over at the WDAF studios right next to WDAF TV with John Hart. Remember John Hart?
Yes, I do remember John Hart. Yeah. Wow.
And he, or 102, I think it was 101. And we went over there and did
it. I think
it
was 102 back then.
Yeah,
101 started kicking in when I got there.
That's right. 101, 1990, or whatever.
I think it was, yeah.
So we'd go over to the studio there, and Bill would come in. And John called me one night and said, hey, listen, man, I got Bill Motz coming in. I'm trying to do a show with him. I don't know much about football. Can you come over? I said, sure, I'll help you out. So I was going to do it like one or two times.
Rest is history.
Rest is history, man. Then morphed to you.
Yeah.
And then you and I and Billy did the original Crunch Time show with this fine radio station when in the summer, started in the summer of 2001.
Mm-hmm.
And yes.
The rest and then we popped now. Around. But now we're back.
Now we're back.
And you and I actually did some shows together, in probably the mid, 2008, 9, 10, 11.
Mm-hmm.
We used to do it over at the 810 Zone.
Remember that? I remember. Yeah, they were fun. When the 810 Zone still existed.
Yeah, they're still around.
They're no longer with us, yeah.
They're not around, but we are, Frank. It's all about just hanging around. And so that we're going to have on David Smale.
Yeah, a little later in this
Who hour. Is helping me write the book. He's wrote about 24, 25 books on different things. He just came out with a great book on Lenardi and bracketology. For ESPN, you know, the bracketology thing and how Lenardi's come up with his bracket.
He
wrote a book on Coach Snyder from K-State. And
With Al Wallace.
Al Wallace.
One more for the Coyotes.
And Gordon Docking.
Gordon Docking's
about
book.
Blake, about his Blake, son Blake. Yeah, son. Great, great author. Great guy. We'll have him on. We'll talk a little bit more about the book. But, yeah, it's exciting. I really had a great time writing this book, and I had a great time talking about all the different stories and kind of just reminiscing about how much I love this city and love the Kansas City Chiefs and I hope that it comes out in the book.
I think it will. Yeah. I think it's going to be wonderful. So I think that's great. That's awesome.
All right. So let's.
You might have to add a chapter before you get this thing closed up.
I might. A couple.
At the
you just never know.
The beginning of next month is probably a big day that you might want to put in the book.
Yeah, that's true.
You just might want to put that in the book. You hear that, Smale? It's not closed up yet.
It's not closed up yet.
And then that would be a perfect end to the book.
Yeah, it would.
Be perfect.
See, that's, you know what? You're just good.
See?
You're just good at everything,
See?
Aren't you?
Yeah, right.
You could be a producer.
I'm not good enough
to
have that book on this show first. Some bones to pick with a couple of people I know out there driving home right now.
All right.
It's their fault.
All right.
All right, let's talk about the Chiefs. They won a game.
The tale of two halves, baby. The alarm clock went off.
Actually, a tale of three quarters versus one quarter.
Yeah.
They really didn't get off to a great start in the second half either.
Okay, so if there was an alarm, if the Kansas City, if one of the players on the Kansas City Chiefs was that alarm that went off in the morning and woke everybody up, who would it be?
Oh, Tyrann Mathieu.
Tyrann Mathieu.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Let me tell you something, guys. That could have changed this season. It really, I really and truly think if the Kansas City Chiefs lose that game, all hell breaks loose over at Arrowhead. I really do. I mean, maybe I'm an alarmist. Maybe I'm putting too much into that game. But if the Kansas City Chiefs lose to the football club and in a game they really should have won and could have won and didn't, it could have got ugly. But Tyrann Mathieu decided, hey, listen, enough is enough. And I've been in that situation. I've been in that position. And it's not easy. It takes a lot of energy. It takes a lot of balls to do it. It It's not a comfortable thing to do, but sometimes you just got to lose it and get in guys' face and wake them up and say, this is not good enough. And that third down and 16 or whatever it was, screen, that they basically ran just to get off of the field. It was just a play just to, you know, all right, we're going to run a screen here, and we're not going to get a first down, but we'll get in a position where we could punt. And they got the first down. That was the last straw for Tyrann Mathieu. I think it was the last straw for this Kansas City Chiefs football team. I think it was the last straw for Patrick Mahone, who, once again, he had a terrible throw, a just embarrassing throw right before half. And I think he walked over to Andy Reid and said, and whispered in his ear, goes, that's me. That's horrible. I'm not going to do that
and
anymore.
Andy just shook his head and said, yeah, it was.
Yeah.
It was horrible.
You know, don't expect me to bail you out here, kid.
Because
it was ugly. And I think at halftime, I wasn't in there and I didn't talk to anybody, but I can imagine that there was some shouting and screaming and some guys waking up because they came out. And yeah, they didn't do.
It took them a while to get
it. It took some time.
Started, yeah.
But, I mean, listen, in the second half of the game, they gave up 75 yards total offense. In the first half, they gave up 200 yards and 13 points, and they didn't give up any points. That defense stood up. It woke up. Now, let's hope they can feed off of that, Frank.
Yeah, right. At halftime, it had to be a real wake-up call for them. I mean, they're down 13-10 to one of the worst football teams in the NFL.
Yeah.
Okay, let's face it. Come on. And now they're staring at the season, and they're going,
you're right.
Man, we are in a lot of trouble here. My God, what are we doing? We end up 2-4 at this juncture. Our chances of making the playoffs are not good at that point. And against this football team, how bad are we? And they finally turned it on. Really, it was the last probably 17 or 18 minutes of the game where they really turned it on offensively and really kick-started a little bit and got going. But you also have to remember this. They're going to go in. Now they're going to play Tennessee. They're like a 5.5 or 6-point favorite. I don't know why exactly, except that Tennessee's hurt a little bit. But Tennessee has a great running game. They have a quarterback who's fairly mobile. He's not tremendously mobile. But they have Derrick Henry at a running back.
Yeah.
They actually practiced tackling this week, which you'll hear in the next segment, which is extremely unusual for an NFL team to practice tackling. And I know they can't hit per se.
They might as well.
Yeah, but the deal is they're bringing a guy to the ground, whatever, but they're definitely working on their technique and trying to get to Derrick Henry before he gets going. Because once he gets going, you're just going to bounce off the guy. He is a stud, as you saw, you know, on, you know, the game that they won, pulled out against
Buffalo.
The Buffalo Bills,
yeah.
Which was a great win for the Chiefs as well. That was great that another AFC team beat the Buffalo Bills. That's good for the Kansas City Chiefs. Problem is now you're going into a hornet's nest with the Tennessee Titans, who are really believing in themselves at the moment, that they can maybe pull off two of the biggest upsets of the early NFL season by beating the Bills and the Chiefs back-to-back at home. So,
all right. Should we do the good, bad, and the ugly here real quick?
Yes.
All right, let's go to the good, the bad, and the ugly. The good was obviously the second half. I mean, the Chiefs only gave up 75 yards and 0 points in the second half. Their defense stood up. They answered the call. They woke up there in the wake-up call that they needed to do. And they made some plays. And, you know, I think, hey, Juan Thornhill was a big part of that. I think just having Juan Thornhill out there and knowing that there are some guys back there that have some speed and some ability and some athleticism that can make up if you make a mistake, help that defense. And listen, Dan Sorensen has a role, and he played that role, and I thought he played the role pretty good the other day. He played about, you know, 15, 20, 25 plays, a lot in run fitting and in blitz situations. But when you have young linebackers and you have some corners that maybe are questioning that if they get burnt or they get beat, that a guy behind them is athletic enough to make up for it. That makes them play a little tentatively, a little bit tight, and they didn't look like that in the second half. I think Juan Thornhill stood up and did a great job. So congratulations to that defense. Patrick Mahomes woke up also. He ended up 32 for 47 for almost 400 yards and 2 touchdowns. Travis Kelce finally woke up. Travis Kelce looked like he was a walking zombie in the first half, and part of that was because they had a good plan to stop him, and they made some adjustments. They moved him around, and he woke up a little bit. And then Tyreek Hill, he left the field in the first half. I thought he was out for the game, and he came back and had a great half. So they all woke up. The bad is, you know, too many drops. I mean, you can't have, you know, Tyreek Hill's drop for an interception was bad. The Chiefs have got to help out their quarterback. If you're going to throw interceptions, throw them because you're trying to fit the ball in and you're trying to make plays. Don't have it bounce off a wide receiver's hands into other people's hands. And then the poor decision by Patrick Mahomes was bad. Now, I mean, that was bad. And I actually tweeted. I said, this game is on now on Patrick Mahomes. I said, Patrick Mahomes will be the key to either winning or losing this game. Will he stand up? Will he bring that leadership and that quality that we all think he has and I know that he has? And will he bring that to the table in the second half? And I thought he did. The ugly, which was really good, was the ugly was Tyrann Mathieu's explosion. He exploded on the sidelines. He got in the face of every one of those defensive players and said, this isn't good enough. I think he finally had enough. And, you know, he's got enough grit. He's got enough toughness. He's got enough experience. And he's got enough respect from those guys that, he can do that. You know, when you do that stuff in the locker room, you do that stuff in the weight room, you do that stuff on the practice field, then you could do that in the game. And they stood up. And when I'm saying ugly, it was just ugly that he had to do that. That was an ugly situation. That really turned out well for the Chiefs. So hopefully they can carry that on, Frank. So the good, obviously, is the second half. The bad is no more drops. You can't have those drops. You can't put your quarterback in bad situations and drop the ball, especially in the red zone. And the ugly is that Tyrann Mathieu almost had a heart attack on the sideline. But thank God that that they listened to him.
Yeah, the my biggest deal right now still is the turnovers. They have 14 turnovers in six games. That is unbelievable.
Yeah.
14 turnovers in six games. That is crazy. The Vegas now has a line on the over-under is 23.5. I'm going to tell you what, if they go over the 23.5, they ain't making the playoffs.
No, they're
okay?
not. They're
so
not making
they better
it.
Do something about the turnover situation because everybody now is going after the football because it seems that the Chiefs have a tendency to fumble, which they do. Now, they never have before, but all of a sudden this year, they've got a case of the, you know, the tip passes, the stripped balls, everything. It's just crazy.
Frank, it's weird because turnovers are contagious.
Yes, they are. You know what? You start thinking about it, and that's a problem. When you start thinking about, I can't turn the ball over, that's when you turn the ball over.
Absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, I would compare it to a little bit of guys getting hurt. You know, when you go out there and you're worried about getting hurt, guess what? You're
going to
get hurt.
Yeah.
And I would tell guys all the time, especially at the end of games, when you're like running out with a 4-minute situation, keep your feet moving. Keep your feet moving. Don't get lazy. Don't slow down. Don't take it easy because once you take it easy, you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, right.
Don't do it. And there are a lot of guys out there that they go out there and they're worried they're going to get hurt and they get hurt. You can't think about it, just like turnovers. You can't think about it. You got to go out there and you got to play the football game. You got to try to make the plays. You know, obviously, if you're Patrick Mahomes, you can't just whip the ball up like he did a couple times. I mean, that's just.
Well, the one was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, it was crazy, yeah. And really, that was just. Yeah,
and
the
really,
other ones
San Diego
are,
one wasn't much better.
No, that wasn't very good either.
Yeah.
The other thing is, too.
It's not San Diego, the L.A. Chargers,
yeah,
excuse me.
The Chargers. That team. The other thing, too, for me is if they're going to continue to use Dan Sorensen, the way they should is the way they're using him now in those situations. This is a game where they could use Dan Sorensen to go back to who this Dan Sorensen was before he became the guy who was playing on every snap instead of Juan Thornhill. They're going to need him against Derrick Henry and trying to make the stops. I know he hasn't been tackling well. That doesn't bode well to go up against Derrick Henry like this. But Dan Sorensen has to regress back to the guy he used to be and be able to tackle in the open field, be able to help on the tackles because it's going to take more than one guy to bring down Derrick Henry. They need Dan Sorensen in that kind of a situation to play the way he used to play in the position he used to play.
Yeah, there's three things you got to do to stop a running back like Derrick Henry. Number one is you got to be gap sound. You cannot guess. You cannot do your own thing. If you're responsible for the A-gap, you better be in that A-gap. Number two, you cannot arm tackle this guy. It's not going to happen. So, I mean, if you watch the Buffalo game down in the red zone, like the 5-yard line, I can't remember which I think it was 99, the defensive end, or maybe 98, the defensive end for Buffalo, tried to arm tackle him and throw his shoulder, and he ran right through that guy like he wasn't even there. So you can't arm tackle. And number three, Number three is that you got to have some run blitzes, but when you bring run blitzes, you got to wrap up and you got to make those plays because run blitzes are going to put you in a situation where you are going to be in trouble if you miss a tackle. You can't miss tackles. You can't arm tackle. You got to be gap responsible, and you got to understand which gap you're responsible for. And then lastly, which is the technique and fundamentals of tackling. I know you can't throw your head in there anymore. I understand that. But you got to throw your shoulder in there, and you got to bring your arms, you got to bring your legs, and you got to wrap up, and you got to hold on and let that the rest of the guys. And then that leads into the other thing, Frank. You got to gang tackle this guy. If one guy grabs on, the rest of you don't go right for the ball. That is what Derrick Henry wants you to do. And that's what teams are taught. That's what guys are taught. Once one guy wraps him up, the second guy in always tries to grab the ball and strip it out. You do that against this guy, and he's going to carry, just like that little video game commercial he has where he's dragging guys where they're eating soup. That's what he's going to do. You're going to be at a Campbell soup commercial as he carries you into the end zone. So don't be going for the damn ball. If you're the fourth guy in, go for the ball.
Maybe.
Third guy, don't. Second guy, absolutely not. First guy, hang on, baby. Hang on.
Hang on. Helps. The posse is coming.
The posse Calvary is coming.
Here they go.
And don't screw that posse up for something else, because we can't have any of those guys on the field.
We'll be back right after this on
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhardt and Frank Bull. And
you sure you know where radio?
You're just not going to let me.
No, I'm not letting that go. It hurts.
Deep pain. Frank, you probably work for that company. You work for every other company in Kansas City.
You know what? That's not far from wrong. Okay, you're not far from wrong.
Hey, you know, just real quick, I just got a text message from Colin, and he wants a Powerade slush on the way home. So there you go.
You want to update everybody on Colin or no?
No. Okay. No, I better not. Right, but, Colin... having some issues with
Colin,
this.
Colin, thinking about you, my friend.
Yep. We
have to go out and play golf again without your father.
Yes. Frank, you and I were talking during the break, and it's like Big John. Yeah. Big Bad John. The guy who was in the pit and was holding up the mountain. And that's what Derrick Henry is. He's Big Bad Derrick. I mean, did you see him working out? He's like pulling like 747s up hills. And
he's a dude.
He is a monster.
250-pound running back.
And you know what? He hasn't slowed down. You'd think he carries the ball at least 25, 30 times a game for 16 games. And this is what, year five or six for him?
Yeah, like five.
Five. I mean, most running backs are breaking down by now. I mean, running backs, it's a short life to play that position, everybody. I'm just telling you, that is, of all positions, I think the average time span of a running back in his prime is about a year and a half.
Yeah, I think it's like 2.1 years.
It's something crazy, but this dude is unbelievable. So I know we have some sound on him, but you have to get this guy
early
to turn his shoulders to the sideline. If you let him get his shoulders up the field and he hits the hole or the gap or the seam or whatever you want to call it without any hesitation, you're screwed.
Yeah. If he's going full speed at the line of scrimmage, by the time he hits the line of scrimmage, you're done.
And by the way, I want you guys to watch it. I know a lot of people watch this guy, and everybody out there watch. He lines up 10 yards deep.
Yeah.
He runs 10 yards before he gets the ball.
He wants to be that deep, because he picks up momentum as he's going towards the line of scrimmage. Can you imagine?
No.
Here he comes. Oh, my God. Here comes 22. Ah!
You know, when Christian Okoye was our – and Christian was a kind of the first generation of this kind of back. Christian refused to, cut. He refused to move. If it was called 32 slant, he hit the two-hole. If you were in the two-hole, he'd run you over, too. He had a little bit of the same as Derrick Henry, where he just put his shoulders forward and went. This guy doesn't run his linemen over as much as
because he has a little bit more lateral movement than Christian.
I used to say, Christian, please hit the other guy. You know, he used to say to me, go, you move them and I won't hit you. I'd be like, I can't feel my legs, Christian. I can't feel them. You hit me in the back and I lost feeling in my legs. You must move him out of the way or you won't get hit. Okay.
Okay,
you
well,
imagine this guy hitting you?
No.
If you're an offensive lineman, he hits you. You might just be out for the rest of the season.
How about if you're like a mid-sized linebacker? How about if you're a linebacker that weighs about as much as he does? Weighs about 250
pounds. I'd like to be two rookie linebackers trying to tackle this. This man. He's a man.
Here we go.
All right.
Okay, yeah, Steve Spagnuolo was asked today about the message he has for his defense concerning Derrick Henry.
Yeah, now look at our guys. Listen, a lot of these guys have been in the league long enough. They get it. I mean, they understand that this is the guy that makes it go. This is going to be the main focus, you know, population to the football. I can go through all the little things about teaching tackling, but I think our guys get it. We spent some time yesterday individual where that's all they did. And even then, I don't think that you're going to get the real feel for what it's going to be like when you get the first hit. But I know that power is speed times mass. So our little guys should run fast, right? And our big guys just got to make sure they keep all that mass. But he's a challenge, no question. I mean, that's the first thing we focused on day one.
That might be the greatest line I ever heard. Get, what was it, population to the ball?
Mm-hmm. That means gang tackle.
Done.
Gang tackle.
Done.
Yeah.
Get population to the ball.
Oh, you use that with the kid. Your
kids. That's being used.
There's no doubt.
Do I have to give him credit for that?
No.
Okay, I won't.
No,
I'm not going to.
Strictly your deal. Right. Also, you finally got what you wanted last week. Sorensen's down, okay? He's playing what he used to play. He's playing as many plays as he used to play. He's not in on every down, and Juan Thornhill is now taking over that position. And Adam Teicher asked Spags why he made the switch.
Yeah, we're mixing men. Dan obviously got in there. Sure. Before the season's all said and done, you know, all those guys are going to have to play back there. You know, Juan deserved to be out there. He'd done some good things. You know, Dan and I talked. He was in a little bit of a slump, so we made a switch. I think it's been pretty smooth. We'll see where we're at this week. But we're going to need listen, I got full trust in Dan and Juan T back there for what we're doing right now, and hopefully we can keep them all rolling.
Do you like the way it played out, though?
I think so. I mean, look, if you go with the result that's most important, and 13 points was the result, I'll take that. I mean, if just making that kind of combination ensures that every week, it'd be an easy decision.
He's absolutely right. I think Dan Sorensen does have to step up, and when he does play, he's going to have to be one of those guys in on those gang tackles of
Now I'm mad at you. You got away from me. I have a man crush on Derrick Henry. I'm just telling you right now.
I know that.
I'm rooting for the Chiefs. I don't want him to get 5 yards rushing. But as an old offensive lineman who played in Marty Ball, who played with Christian Okoye, the next gen Christian Okoye, Derrick Henry, I got a man crush on this guy. I really do. I love watching him run the football. There's a couple more people talked about him. And you just went right to Juan Thornhill. I want to hear what Andy Reid had to say. Do we have Andy Reid talking about?
We've got Andy Reid on Derrick Henry.
I mean,
yes.
You have all. I know you have your finger on the
dot.
You always have.
Andy,
I know this is your little deal.
Derrick Henry. I'm trying to move us along. So, of course, we could promote your book that you already talked about.
Here's Andy
Reid on Derrick Henry.
All right.
Yeah, he's a great kid. He's a good football player. To think that he's carrying the ball as much as he is and year after year he's putting up these numbers, it's crazy. So, and he's a great player. So are you going to hold him to know? No, that's not what's going to happen. But he's going to get his yards, and then you just have to limit it the best you can. You got to tackle him. He's a big man, but you got to tackle him. And our guys know that, you know. So they've got a good offense. They base it around 22, so they got a great play action game and that comes off of action to him, and so yeah, we've got to be ready for all that.
Frank, I'm not gonna go to Victor Montecanalini.
Hey, don't. Trying to get the World Cup.
I know. I'm not going to go to him because you yelled at me. And, you know, Victor's talking a little bit about the World Cup stuff, so I guess we won't bring that up.
Well, we can bring that up.
No,
we want
no,
the
no,
2026
no.
World Cup here.
Go ahead. What else do you want?
Oh, boy. See that? Try to drop it back on me. This will be right up your alley here.
All right.
Eric Bieniemy talking about swapping out Mike Remmers in for Louis Niang.
Here's what you gain. You gain a veteran who's been in the league for a number of years. On top of that, Mike Remmers has been with us now for a few years, and he understands the system. It's also something that takes place up front. Those guys got to do a great job of over-communicating with one another. And so with Remmers in there, he's going to help Trey to get better because now he's over-communicating the necessary information, you know, back and forth to each other. And the best thing about that is now Lucas has an opportunity to sit and observe and watch in practice, watching how Remmers is handling certain situations that present itself. I think it's a great opportunity for Remmers. But on top of that, too, is teaching Lucas, all right, all the ins and outs on how to become a better professional.
Very, very astute. Very, very correct. And I agree wholeheartedly with the move. And listen, I think Lucas Niang is going to be a good football player. I think it's tough for three rookies, basically, to be playing on one side of the line of scrimmage. And we've talked about it many times where there's a rookie wall that you don't want all three of those guys to be hitting at the same time because all hell will break loose. And it is a real thing, all right? It's not something made up. It's not something that, you know, NFL prognosticators and NFL talking heads talk about. It is a real thing that every rookie hits because your mind controls your body. And by the time you're done with 11, 12 games like you were when you were playing college, you shut her down. I mean, your body just shuts down. Well, guess what? That's about week 8 in the NFL. All right. And now that there's 17 games, you know, there's another, you know, 6, 7, 8 games after that. So, you know, it's good to have a veteran guy in there. You know, he can learn from. There's always going to be injuries on the offensive line. I'm knocking on wood. But any time that you have a veteran guy you could put in there and help out with reps and help out with teaching the young guys how to play the football game, it's a good thing. So I don't think Lucas Niang is being punished. I don't think Lucas Niang really particularly did anything for him to lose his job. I think they just said, hey, listen, Mike Remmers gives us a better opportunity at this point to win football games. And that's what it's all about. It's not a popularity contest. It's not about, you know, well, we owe it to this guy or owe it to that guy. Who's going to give you the best opportunity to win? And right now, Remmers does.
He does. And, of course, you talked about Travis Kelce really sort of turning on this week, too. Everybody was sort of lounging around in the first half, figuring, oh, we're just going to beat Washington. It's no problem. We're going to get it all turned around.
Didn't one of our old buddies say something about throwing a helmet on a field or something? What did he say? You were there.
I was the one that got
You got him to
quotes.
Say it, didn't you?
I'm the one that got the quote. I just asked him, what do you think about the Atlanta Falcons?
And what did he say?
He just said, we just roll our helmet out there and beat them. But the reason they really got mad at him is because Billy didn't play that week. He didn't play. He was hurt.
Yeah.
He was injured. So.
It's easy to say that when you don't have to play.
Oh, boy. Bill, I didn't say that. Tim did. Your old buddy. Okay, we're talking about Travis Kelce here real quick before we get out of this segment and get to David Smalen. Talk about Demi's book.
Will you stop?
Okay, here's Travis Kelce. And talking about how the offense seemed to click more in the second half.
Everyone's saying it's like we finally clicked. I think we've been clicking. It's just been certain things, turnovers, penalties, all self-inflicted stuff. I think we've been clicking all year. We just, you know, got to eliminate some of the negative plays and the things that happened throughout the game that hurt the offense and hurt the team in general.
Turnovers. Killers.
Turnovers will kill
killers,
you, Frankie.
Killers.
So, yeah, we'll kill you.
There we are. Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. We come back. We're going to talk to David Smale. He co-wrote this book with Tim Grunhard.
Good buddy of yours. You introduced me to him.
I've known David for a long, long time. Yeah, you're absolutely right. So we will talk to David when we come back on
Crunch Time. All right, welcome back to Crunch Time. It is Tim Grunhard and Frank Bull Thursday night. We appreciate you guys listening. Don't forget about our great sponsors. CBD American Shaman, any kind of issues, whether it's sleep, whether it's anxiety, whether it's pain, they could take care of you. Go over there.
Use it every day.
Tell them that Grenny and Frank sent you from Crunch Time. Get 30% off right now at all stores in the metro area. And there's a bunch of them, Frank.
Yeah, and my sister, I gave her a bottle. She said she's experiencing some arthritic pain in her hands. I said, I'm going to send you something. She used it. Now she keeps, where's my next jar? Where's my next jar?
Yeah.
Where's my next jar?
Oh, absolutely.
Where's my next jar?
I know.
So she's doing it. Don't forget Shamans, Leewood Total Wellness, 117th and Row, right there in Camelot Court, where Joe's, the CVS, and the Hen House is. Go out and talk to them. Dr. Rahul Kapoor is really helping our Chad Corey, our salesperson here, with weight loss, and he's taken off about 75 pounds. So
he looks
terrific.
All right, we get to bring our good buddy on, David Smale. David, what's going on? Thanks for coming on the show today with Frank and I. And David, I want to think that we could take a deep breath now that we kind of got this thing on paper, but it just seems like not yet.
Well, it's fun to dream about holding a book in your hands. I've done that a few times, and it's pretty cool feeling, but it's fun to finally let the word out. I don't think we did a very good job of keeping it a secret, but it's fun to finally be able to announce.
Yeah, anyway, I think it's good timing, as I'm just so blessed and honored to go in the Ring of Fame on November 1st, the Monday night game. Going to have a bunch of people in town, and it's the alumni game, and we thought, you know, this would be a good week to kind of kick it off, and then next week we'll do a little bit more. But I just want to thank you. I mean, you've made it easy for me, and you and I have been working on this book since basically, I want to say, was it April when we started with our meetings and all that kind of stuff? And, you know, it was once a week basically for 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when we got started. I started bugging you in January, but I don't remember when we officially got started, but it's been a fun process.
So let's talk a little bit about we kind of have a name. It's called the Kingdom. How it was built from the view from the center.
The birth of the Kingdom is the working title,
right?
And then the subtitle is The View from the Center.
Right, The View from the Center. And in our press release, I was looking at it, and I don't remember quite being that. But, yeah, the view from the center.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Houston, we have a problem.
We have a problem.
No, Frank, we don't. You know, working with Tim, that things can change. the other fact is it really isn't our fault.
Yeah, it's not.
Because the publisher can say, boy, you guys are really bright, but we're going this direction. So,
yeah, I understand.
It's finally their call. That's what we're working with. I think the more important thing actually is the subtitle, The View from the Center. The main title, I don't really care as long as it sells copies.
Absolutely, and we're hoping they could do that. And, you know, basically what it talks about, and, you know, one of the things you and I really want to make a point of emphasis in the book was, you know, everybody's talking about the Chiefs Kingdom, and it is a healthy, healthy brand right now in Kansas City, in this country, really all over the world. The Kansas City Chiefs with Patrick Mahomes and 2 Super Bowl appearances and you know, just with NFL properties, it is one of the hottest property in the NFL, and that's the Chiefs. But how was it built? And, you know, we contend that the foundation was laid in the 1990s. And the 1990s is when this fan base kind of woke up and was re-energized. If you talk to people nowadays, they still look back fondly on the 90s. And, you know, if you ask people, hey, let's give us your top 10 most popular players that you remember or from now and from then, and I would say 6 or 7 of those guys would be guys from the 90s. So it was an important time for the Kansas City Chiefs. Carl Peterson and Marty Schottenheimer made it a point of emphasis to bond and to connect the fans to the players because they knew that that was the future. We didn't have social media back then. We had radio, and we tried to relate stories, and we tried to bring people into the fold that people would love the Kansas City Chiefs because they knew who the players were and the players were accessible.
Yeah, and not only knew who they were, but knew them. I think that's one of the things that I have come to appreciate in this process, Tim, is the fact that you guys were out there not just doing radio shows like in a studio, but doing them with the people. And I think that was a critical part of it. Those of us, Frank and I, who are old enough to remember the Chiefs of the 60s, you know, that they could do no wrong. But there was a period of time when they did plenty wrong. From a football standpoint, basically from 1971 until Carl and Marty took over in the late 80s. And they changed the attitude and brought the fans in before the team even started winning.
Yeah, that was, for me, it's so much different now. The players, you just don't have the access to the players we used to have. And right. I think that really helped. Tim and I got to know one another, and Bill Moss and I got to know each other really well. And it became a trust factor then that back in those days, I think they really felt they could trust certain members of the media. Whereas now, because of the new social media platforms, everybody's trying to break these stories. Everybody's trying to get, you know, these hits and likes and all this sort of stuff. I think it's totally different now, and everybody's very defensive.
You know, Frank, it's funny you bring that up because, yeah, I mean, I think the media and the players had a great relationship, and the fans and the players had a great relationship, and that was built in the 90s. And one of the things that you and I came up with, David, as we did this book, is that, you know, people always talk about Arrowhead as being a college atmosphere.
Yes.
And, you know, and we thought, well, because it's loud. No, it's not just that. Maybe it's because everybody wears red. They wear the – it's not really just that. What I think it really comes down to is when you think about going to a college football game, whether it's at K-State or MU or KU, there's a personal relationship between the fans and the players. Because guess what? You know, you probably go to class with the kid. You probably sit with the kid in history class, or you see the kid in the cafeteria, or you're walking around campus and there's a starting quarterback, and you feel that relationship. You feel like
to your high school.
Yeah, you feel like you may know the guy. And I think Carl and Marty were ingenious when they came up with the idea of, hey, let's make this in where the people really and truly feel like they know the player, that they have a personal relationship with the player. You know, Snowstorm Sandy and Becky and all our buddies who used to go to all the games, they were like aunts and uncles to us. You know, we saw them all the time. They went to all of our shows. We had you'd look up in the stands and you'd find people and you'd make eye contact. And, you know, there was a sharing, a bonding that went on during that time that built up this great fan base. So it's not just how loud the stadium is. There was a personal relationship, but I still contend there is a personal relationship between the Kansas City Chiefs fan and the player that is close, or if not closer, than any other NFL team or program out there because of those facts.
Yeah, you mentioned, had a great analogy, Tim, when we were talking about this, that you know, you go to a high school football game, you go because that's your neighbor wearing number 68, or that's your, you know, that's a kid you went to high school with or you're in class with who's wearing number 15 or whatever. When you go to a Chiefs game, at least back in the early 90s when you were playing, they said, oh, that's Tim. He hosts the radio show, and I go to the Levee every Thursday night, and I see Tim, and I talk to him, and I buy him a burger, or sometimes he buys me a beer or whatever. That you had that personal relationship, and while you're there, oh, there's a bunch of other guys wearing that same color uniform. I'll root for them as well. And I think that's something that's unique, at least was unique for the Chiefs, because of that ability and that propensity to get out into the community.
Yeah, I also think, David, the other genius that they really pulled off was the tailgating. That was Tim Connelly. And we sort of forget, lose that name in history. But Tim Connelly was the guy who came up with the corporate tents, the tailgating idea, and Marty and Carl just went, you know what? That's probably a really good idea out there to bring the fans in early and let them start tailgating. Now it's what Kansas City's known for.
Frank, without giving away too much in the book, I talk about a story that driving in to that Buffalo game in 1991 and rolling the window down and letting the smoke of the barbecue kind of engulf the car, and it was like Pavlov's dog. It was like, I'm ready to go now. The Chiefs fans, they have their way of getting ready for the game, and we use some of that tailgating and that excitement before the game. Can you imagine being a visiting team driving into that parking lot and dealing with that craziness?
No, never.
That's all good stuff. Well, David, thanks for coming on, and we'll have you on a bunch more times as this book kind of gets kicked off. But thanks for helping me write it, and it's been a lot of fun, buddy.
I've had a blast.
All right, that was David Smale, who's working with us. He's wrote about 25 or 30 books,
and
is just really, really good at it. And Frank, I'll only charge you half price for the book.
Thanks. It's good. Did you give away free copies a little earlier today?
I haven't given away anything. I don't even have a copy yet.
Okay.
When I do, I'll make sure that you get one for half price.
Okay.
All right?
Will you sign it for me?
Yeah, that'll cost you, though. Love you, buddy.
Back to full price.
That's right. All right. You guys have been listening to
Crunch Time.